And that makes us family. Family's willing to fight for each other. Family's willing to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
Chris Davis is going to drop back.
War Eagle, this is War Bloggle with the 25th episode of the War Bloggle podcast. The calendar almost got me. I told you I was going to do one of these every week. They were going to be released on Fridays of 2025. And to be honest, Baby Bloggle had a doubleheader yesterday, which they swept, which was Friday. I'm recording this on Saturday. So I did miss the Friday, but we're still within the week. This will be my, ninth of the 2025 ninth week of the year, ninth podcast of the year. If that's all that matters. And I kind of wanted to wait anyway to see what Auburn did with Kentucky today. So before I get there, let me go back to what has happened since the last podcast. The last podcast, we talked about Auburn beating Alabama and Arkansas, which feels like 7 years ago. But since then, last weekend, Auburn beat Georgia. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on these two games, but Auburn beat Georgia. I was actually out of town. I was on Beautiful Bloggles and an annual work trip. We used to go to Highlands, North Carolina, and walk around and pretend to have money and search the shops for 2 or 3 days. But they do have a nice little restaurant there that has a big screen, and we watched the Auburn Georgia game. We actually listened to the first half on the way up there because Baby Bloggle had a baseball game last week, a school baseball game Saturday. So we drove up. Listen to the first half. It was fine. Like almost 90% of Auburn's games this year, it seems like Auburn's leads live between 5 and 8 points. And that first half was definitely that way. I remember Auburn got to the point where they led by 8. And Georgia shot a 3 at the buzzer in the first half and got it to 5, which is not an ideal feeling. I always say, go into the half up 10 and you'll be fine. So 8 felt good, 5 was not. But then I watched the second half on a big screen at a restaurant with no sound. And yeah, it got close-ish a few times, but it was always lived in that 5 to 8 point range. And then I think by the end we won by 12 or 13 with free throws and everything like that. But I saw a lot of people say it was Auburn's worst performance of the year. I don't know if it was Georgia. I don't know if it was because it was Georgia. I don't know if it was because I was watching in a restaurant with no sound. I don't know if it's because I didn't see the first half. There was some officiating that was weird. There was that weird, double, triple, quadruple technical on Chad Baker and Denver and their guy, which meant nothing other than it gave him fouls, where Chad just looked like he was trying to break up a play. That's reputation preceding you. Whether he deserves that reputation or not, everybody goes back to the Yale game all the time as if Chad Baker was going to be the absolute reason we won that game. But he got that call. He got that technical because he entered the fray, but all he literally did was push Denver away. But I remember the guy, whoever it was, there was closed caption, on the big screen. I remember the guy saying that basically he got that call because he's been a problem before or whatever they called it. But whatever. I didn't feel like the game was awful. Maybe I was just in a chill vacation-ish type mode. I wasn't at the game, but I saw a lot of people just say it was the worst Auburn has played. We won by 12, 13, 14, whatever. The points weren't there as much, but the defense was fine. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with Georgia was not great. They're a rival in football mainly, but a rival. And I don't know. I mean, it just felt worse than it was. I don't know. They got that win, whatever. Then Auburn played Ole Miss. I actually got to that game. I went to that game on Wednesday. And for whatever reason, we were a little late. I want to say probably because of Baby Bloggle's baseball. Yes. And then so I took Baby Bloggle 2. We got there right. We got to the area right around tip off, maybe 2 minutes before. Went to our normal parking spot, which is a spot I'm not going to tell you because it's a good one. But apparently it was chapter night. Wednesday night is sorority chapter night over at the sorority dorms. And they have all their meetings and they all dress up and they're all skipping basketball games for some reason. But there was not a curb, a piece of grass, a sidewalk around the arena at all. I mean, we drove around two or three times. People were just cramming in anywhere. And I can get pretty adventurous and advantageous with my parking anywhere kind of thing. And I couldn't find anything. So we ended up parking by the business building, but it was ridiculous. So let's have chapter on Thursday nights. I know you've probably done it on Wednesday since 1964, but there's no basketball on Thursday ever. Girls play on Thursday sometimes. There's no big basketball ever. So let's do it on Thursday. But anyway, we got into the game with like 13 minutes left. We were already up big. I think we led by 22 in the first half. Yes, it got down to 6 at one point, like many of Auburn's games. And I had this conversation with somebody at one point, but about, you know, when you're as good as Auburn and you have won now, right now, as I talk, 27 of your 29 games, it's very, 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 very hard to be up 22 points and stay at the same level. In the SEC, everybody is somewhat good. Even South Carolina, which is the worst team in the SEC, gave Auburn fits in that first, you know, it was very early in the season. It was a road game. It was weird. CMB or whoever their guy's name was, I hadn't even heard his name since then, but the worst team in the SEC gave us fits early in the season. So there's not a bad team, and they're not going to quit. You know, basketball's not really one of those games where you quit. I mean, you kind of quit playing defense a little bit, but you're going to go down and try to get your points and try to get your shots, whether you're playing for the team or not. Doesn't matter what the score is. A lot of times when a team's down 30, they're going to have a guy that's probably one of their better shooters. He's just going to go down and chunk threes, and some of them will go in because there's really no pressure. It's just kind of like the game's over. Let's just see what happens. So, again, like many of Auburn's games this year, they got a big lead. It got down to 6 or whatever it was. And then I want to say at halftime it was like 8-10 or something like that. But then by the end of the game, they won 107-103. I don't know. They won by 30. They scored over 100 points and won by 30. Against Ole Miss, who has been ranked for a decent portion of the season, who beat Alabama at Alabama. So not an awful team. They got the little white kid with the headband who honestly didn't play near as much as I thought he would. I think maybe Chris Beard. He's one of the only coaches I remember the name of in SEC basketball. I think he kind of gave up early. He started putting in guys that you could tell had not played a ton, like with 10 minutes left in the game. They had a guy who was like 7'2". He put him in. Early, you could tell he had not played a bunch. So I don't know. It was nice, obviously getting the big lead, dropping the lead, and then getting another lead even bigger was nice to see. You obviously wanted that to be a little bit easier and stick around the whole time, but just really not going to happen in this day of basketball. And if you're as good and as dominant as Auburn has been. And when I say dominant, that doesn't mean you're beating everybody by 40. It just means when anybody comes back, you shut it down. It just means when you've played 29 games, you've won 27, which is more than anybody, higher percentage than anybody. That's the domination there is. This isn't football where you play 12 games, and it's if you're really, really good, you're going to blow out most teams. It's not that. Basketball is not that game. If Auburn does happen to lose another game, hopefully the only games they would lose would be the next two because those are regular season games that don't matter. And after that, they're kind of out. But, you know, we're getting to the point where nobody cares about the regular season anymore, but it should be all that matters. But whatever. But there were some things, there were some plays in the Ole Miss game where I was just like, that is why we're the best team in the nation. There's one that, I can't remember who started it, but it was like there was a pass from the top, maybe kind of on the wing a little bit. I'm thinking baseball terms. It would probably be left center to Janai, who was kind of near the lane, maybe at the top of the key a little bit or the top of the lane. And then he just immediately flipped it almost without looking to Cardwell, and it was for a dunk. And I was just like, you don't see teams doing that. And that was just perfect. It was whoever passed it to Janai, I can't remember who it was, they knew that what he was going to do with the ball, and Janai knew it immediately what he was going to do with the ball, and Cardwell knew what Janai was going to do with the ball. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's why we're the best. It's that kind of play right there. I mean, you see other teams run plays, obviously, as part of basketball. Again, you know, you'll cut and all that and have somebody wide open under the basket, and that's just whatever. But it was just that kind of play. It's semi-creative, but not really. Just here's a pass, and here's a pass, here's dink and dunk, and there it is. But that happened a lot in the Ole Miss game. There was one other, there was actually a video I saw that where the announcer was like, this shows them why they're the best team in the nation. It was something else like that, where left somebody wide open under the goal. So, but yeah, Auburn went 2-0 last week, I guess you would say, still part of this week, but Saturday beat Georgia, last Saturday beat Georgia, then this Saturday or this Wednesday beat Ole Miss. And then we got to today, as I'm recording this Saturday night, the Kentucky game, where Auburn has not won since 1988, which was a last second shot, I think. I was still 5 years old. I turned six that year, but I was still 5 years old. Sonny Smith was the coach. Don't know anything about it. I'm sure I've seen a replay of it or something. But Auburn had lost 20 in a row at Rupp. And, you know, there's been times it was close, but a lot of times good teams have gone up there and gotten blown out. The Final Four team went up there and got blown out. I say blown out, 17 points or something like that. But, you know, and it's not necessarily because Auburn's not the level of Kentucky or anything like that, but it's just another – it's a road game, which is hard to do in the SEC. It's one of those where, you know, it's like you can just – I can already hear it if I'm listening to it on the radio, the sound, the deafening sound of them going crazy when they hit a three at the beginning of the game. Or, you know, just watching it on TV and you see – fans going crazy because they got a 4-point lead. And it's just, it's one of those situations. It's like Alabama where you're just like, there's no way we're going to win. It doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter if they're having a mediocre year. It's just one of those situations, especially in basketball, basketball only really, where the home field advantage, home court advantage matters so much. But then you pull up the game and they showed the two pre-game meetings, pre-game speeches. And Mark Pope of Kentucky, who I'm sure is going to be really good. I actually kind of like him. He's a very positive guy. I'm not necessarily a positive coach, but a very positive coach. He played there. He loves it. I get it. Like a lot of people were, when he got hired, were like, who, what, whatever. But, you know, his pre-game speech was more like, all right, guys, if we play our best, we'll be able to, you know, keep hang with these guys and blah, blah, blah. And then you had Bruce Pearl going in there. Bruce Pearl's message was like, how many wins we got? What's our record? 14-1. What's their record? 8-7. Who's the best team? Like, it was like, honestly, a little more brash and a little more, not cocky, but just, I mean, it was real. It was cocky, but it was real. It was like, they're 8-7. And, you know, they're number 17 in the nation, and they're 8-7 in the SEC. That tells you what people think about the SEC this year. It tells you what the SEC is this year. Obviously, they're going to get a little bit of a bump because of Kentucky. Their name is Kentucky. But they're 8-7. I mean, that's barely above 500. And as of right now, they are 500 in the SEC. They are middle bottom, top of the bottom. So, you know, immediately right then, I was like, I know this is Kentucky. I know this is, you know, the toughest place to go win possibly, really. But, yeah, we're 14-1. We were 14-1. And they're 8-7. A lot of teams have beaten them. Alabama went up there and beat them pretty easily. I don't think many of those games were from, I'm not going to pull it up. But, you know, I'm assuming they've only lost 1, 2, 3 home games, if any, other than Alabama. I mean, they beat Duke, they beat Florida up there. That's kind of what scared me too. It's like they beat Duke, they beat Florida. Okay, they beat. I mean, I don't really think that deep into it, just because they beat. I mean, Auburn had an off day against Florida, and Florida had a extremely hot 10 minutes. That's all it was. And I want to say the Kentucky Florida game was really close in Rupp, and they just happened to win. I mean, Auburn could have easily just come back and won that game too. But when I heard Bruce say that, I was like, that is just the tale of the two programs right now. Florida, Kentucky is just kind of like, we're new here. It's a whole new team, a whole new coach. Yeah, they got the history, but they don't have much to back it up at this point. So I just kind of wasn't that scared anymore. And then Miles Kelly hits a three to start the game. I think they led like 5-4, but that was it. Miles Kelly went on to shoot 9 threes, make 9 threes, 2 banked in. He probably shot a few more than he should have by when it was all said and done, but you make 9 threes, whatever, which tied the record, I think. Maybe Bloggle told me that. Tied the record that Bryce Brown hit a few years ago. But it was just kind of one of those games where every single time they got something going, we would just shut it off immediately. It was just, all right, no, we're not doing this. They got it down to 6 or 7 for like a millisecond. But we normally live in the 5 to 8 point range of having a lead. This one was more like the 12 to 18 point having a lead range. But they never got going. I think they hit 1 3 when the game was still kind of in hand. And I want to say they might have hit 3 or 4 later in the game when it was not in hand and it just didn't really matter anymore. But it was Chad and Miles. You know, Janai is what makes the team go, and he only had 1 point in the first half and 9 total, 6 rebounds. Just didn't have a great day for whatever reason, a little bit of foul trouble. You know, a few layups didn't go in at the beginning. You could tell he got a little frustrated, missed a few free throws. Tell you got a little frustrated. But when Miles and Chad are on, I honestly don't even know that Janai has to do anything. Because if Miles is popping threes, which is what he does, and yeah, he can drive too. But when Chad is on and he's hitting threes and he's hitting those little 10-foot shots and 5-foot shots and just throwing the ball up and it goes in, there is nobody that can beat Auburn at all. Again, Janai makes it go. And when we're in trouble, just dump it down low and let him do his thing, which he kind of did in the second half a little bit more. He had 8 points in the second half. Usually he's got 10 to 12 in the first half and 8 in the second half, and that makes 20. Today he just was 1-9. But especially Denver, if you throw him in the mix, Chaney didn't really do much today either. Now, if we can look at matchups, Bruce always says basketball's a game of matchups, and I realized that a few years ago, where we might be the best team in the world, but they might have the exact size people that messes up what we do well. Janai might be able to destroy 90% of the teams, but if they've got 2 big dudes that can lock on him and shut it down, that's all that's needed sometimes. And so, Florida's big, we struggled. Duke's big, we struggled. Kentucky's big, Janai struggled. Chaney struggled, the big boys. But we have Miles Kelly. We have Chad Baker-Mazzara. Denver got a little banged up today. Somebody said he had a bone bruise. Maybe he'll play Tuesday. Kind of at this point, do we need to play him Tuesday when we play go to Texas A&M? Yes, we want to win as many games as possible. Yes, we want to lock in the number one overall seed. But can we almost kind of, I'm not saying sit starters, but can we almost kind of play it safe, play it easy the next 2 games? Alabama, we're not going to play easy because we definitely don't want them to spoil anything at the end of the season, even if it changed nothing. You know, as we've learned with SEC tournaments before, they don't really matter that much to the seeding, which I kind of like and I kind of don't. Last year, or even in the Final 4 year, Auburn destroyed Tennessee in the SEC championship, and Auburn's seed did not really move, and Tennessee didn't drop. They dropped to 2, but we didn't go ahead of them. Last year, winning the SEC tournament over Florida didn't really help our whatever, which again, I don't hate. I don't want a 3 to 4 day span in Nashville to override 35 games. They shouldn't. Or 30 games, whatever you want to say it is. They shouldn't. So, I don't really love tournament champions getting into the tournament over a regular season champion. That's stupid. That happens in the small conferences all the time. I got on a tangent about, do we take the next few games easy? But you know, if Miles, who is probably, if we want to be absolute flat out real, Miles is probably the most draftable player we have on the team, and it's because he can shoot from anywhere. It's because he can drive. He can lay it up. He can dunk. He gets the ball stolen away from him. That was all our main little problem today. Yes, they had 14 billion turnovers, but there's been a few stretches where Todd and Miles get their pocket picked pretty easily. But if we've got Miles and we've got Chad going, yes, we need Broom, we need Chaney, we need Denver, we need Cardwell, we need all the guys. But if those are going, those are like the guys that, those are the dagger guys. Those are the guys that when the team thinks they're coming back and we just come down the court and pop a three in their face or do some little random spinny thing and we make like a little 6-foot shot, they just made some awesome dunk or layup and they got all pumped. And here comes Chad just going to spin around 65 times and just throw it up right-handed. He's left-handed. And it banks in and he gets fouled. It's like, you know, as an Auburn fan, it is very hard to believe all the – as an Auburn basketball fan, it is very hard to get in and get excited about all the good things because we've had good and then, you know, we see what happens. But it just keeps happening this season. Like, Chad keeps, every time you want to slap him in the head for doing something dumb down the, you like, pass the ball one time and then he scores. It's like, oh, I see this. He's never going to pass the ball. He's not going to do anything. And he scores. And then Miles Kelly's falling down backwards, throwing his legs up in the air, shoots, banks in. It's like, I'm wary that's going to end at some point because the law of averages says it will. But when those two are on fire, we are unbeatable. When Janai has his game where he's just going to back it in and score and you know, make his little hook shots and all that, we're unbeatable. When Tahad decides he's going to pop threes in your face or dribble down and beat everybody to the basket, we're unbeatable. There's three different ways we're unbeatable, and that's why we're unbeatable. That's what all the announcers say. It's like, yeah, Janai had a pedestrian day. Not a great first half. If he was a normal role player, if he was Chaney and he had 1 point and three rebounds in the first half, nobody'd say a word. They're just going to look at it now as, oh, I thought he was the best. He's supposed to be the best, and that's all he can do? Well, he's playing at Kentucky. He's not playing at, what, NC State like his counterpart is. His counterpart, his contender for National Player of the Year is, who apparently had an eye injury and is still going to play tonight, but whatever. But let's talk about the funniest part of the game. I don't remember how much time it was left. It was a decent amount of time, 7-8 minutes left or so. And Janai's turning to make a layup. And as the ball comes out of his hands, it ended up going in, but we didn't see it because the screen went blue, Big Blue Nation, and it immediately went to a commercial. And then it came back to the ESPN ABC analyst table, and they just start showing highlights from other games. They just flat out was like, yeah, Wisconsin did this today. And I'm like, did we accidentally change the channel? I was looking at my phone on the Apple sports app or whatever, you know, it has the little thing at the top of your phone and it just kind of shows the score at all times. It's like, well, they've scored two or three times. We've scored two. They've scored three. Like, what is happening? And then just like in passing conversation, the guy goes, if you're looking for Auburn, Kentucky, they're having some technical difficulties. Yes, we're looking for them. It's ABC. We've been watching this top 17 matchup of the best team in the nation versus, you know, one of the best programs ever. And, you know, Auburn's getting its first win there, or possibly. I mean, at that point, it was a 17, 16, 15-point game, whatever. And then it just, whatever. And they're like, and then they start showing this outdoor hockey game. outdoor hockey match. Ohio State versus somebody. I don't know. I tweeted this. They had some little drumline, Ohio State drumline, marching into the stadium, and it looked like they had just found some seventh graders that just learned what drumsticks were to play their little beat or cadence. I mean, they were marching. They weren't marching right. They weren't playing right. Some of them had their drums off. It was like, what are we doing here? And, you know, At the time, I was just worried about the score. So I just start following on my phone, and I'm sitting there with all the Bloggle family, and I'm sitting there going, okay, layup, we made it. All right, foul. And then I was like, okay, well, let me pull up the app and listen to it, the Auburn Tigers app, and listen to radio. I don't know why I didn't think about that first, but I guess just because I thought it was going to come on anytime. And then I start listening to it and whatever, and it gets closer. But, of course, there's 75 fouls. The game was already – the first half took 30 minutes longer than most games. I hadn't even talked about the fouls. I really don't want to because Auburn won by a lot, and it really didn't matter. But, I mean, almost every point Kentucky scored was from the free throw line, especially in the first half. And it's like, I don't know why they didn't just drive the goal every single time because it was always a foul. Yeah, sometimes we bumped them in the head. But, you know, we go down there and get mugged, and this is so – I get it. It is so typical. This is the same argument you hear all the time. That's why nobody listens to it anymore. But it's so typical. We drive, oh, we're the best team in the nation. We don't need the help. And then they drive and don't make the layup or do because they had a bunch of and ones, especially in the first half. And everything's a murder, and we've got to review everything. Did he punch him in the face, or did he rip his flesh off, or did he bite his ear as he was going after the ball? Like, it's just ridiculous. So the first half was like 30 minutes extra long. So halfway through the second half, it's the 2-hour cutoff. And I didn't realize, I didn't really think about this until like 10 minutes after the game. We got to the point where that hockey game was supposed to go on. And they basically just said, somebody said it. Maybe there was a technical difficulty. Maybe there was. Somebody said there was a fire near the truck that has the generators. And that was it. Maybe that happened. We can go and say who made that happen. Kentucky basketball is Alabama football. Was this a Harvey Updike situation where he lit the truck on fire and got the feed cut so nobody could watch beloved Big Blue Nation get destroyed? Is that what happened? But either way, somehow the feed went out. It was either on purpose or not. Well, if it was not on purpose, they made the decision, we're not even going to try this anymore. That there's two sides to this. We're not going to try this anymore to bring it back. Or, hey, let's cut the feed and act like there's technical difficulties. And in about 5 minutes, we're just going to move on to the hockey match. Because guess what? And I didn't even realize this. About 10 minutes later, they said the game's on ESPN News. So magically, the feed came back. I don't know that anybody watched it on that because Auburn tweeted out. They do on YouTube, on Auburn's YouTube, they do a, what's it called? Sideline cam. It's called something else. I thought it was. But basically, it's the radio. Excuse me. It's the radio feed of Andy and Randall Dickey. And it's basically you're looking at them call the game. Well, Auburn just said, forget this. We're going to flip the camera and show the game. So you could, almost like a fisheye lens a little bit or a wide lens or whatever you want to call it, you could see the game. And you could see both goals and you could see everything happen. It wasn't great. So Auburn just basically said, well, if you're not going to show the game, we're going to do this. So on their YouTube live feed, they had that. And I think a lot of people, well, Andy said at some point they had 7,000 people watching with like 4 or 5 minutes left. But, you know, it's ridiculous. It's twofold ridiculous. It was either Kentucky or a Kentucky fan or ABC just was like, yeah, this is a blowout. We don't need this anymore. They were hiding it from being seen. Or they just said, hey, we've got this massive outdoor hockey game that we've built up for the last whatever. I don't know because it's the first time I'd heard of it. Ohio State was hosting it. And they were like, hey, we can't, the ice is going to melt. We can't push this on. Now, the problem was the refs were still calling fouls like it was a 1-point game and mattered the entire second half. So, y'all, we think things like that don't happen. We think that people don't make those kind of decisions and go, hey, cut the feed, and then in about 5 minutes, we'll just act like it's a lost cause, and hey, the game's over anyway, so whatever. We got this hockey thing. Like, that is 100% what happened. I don't know why the feed went out, but they absolutely gave up on it because they wanted to show this hockey thing. And again, we've talked about this all season long. Basketball games last longer than 2 hours. They might last 2 hours and 3 minutes, but they last longer than 2 hours. Absolutely. When I look at a basketball game, I go first half 1 hour or 55 minutes, and the second half around there. I mean, basketball games are pretty much minimum 2 hours, 15 minutes. But we still schedule them right there. And I don't know, there's got to be some sort of marketing or eyeballs on the TV reason. Yeah, if it's a massive game, they'll push back that second a little bit. They did that for the Iron Bowl, the Auburn-Alabama one. They did it for another one, maybe the Florida game. They'll push it back a little bit, but there's got to be a reason. It's got to be like, well, we know these people are watching this game, so when it flips right into it and it's already 5 minutes in and it's 15-7, they're going to get more involved and they're going to stay and watch. There has to be a reason. There's no reason to not put them 2.5 hours. There's no reason not to put this, you know, top 17 matchup, first Auburn basketball game on ABC since Jesus was born, and we're going to sit it right at 2 hours. We're going to use that stupid rule and put a outdoor hockey game, a college hockey game, with the worst drumline I've ever seen. We're just going to throw that in afterwards. It makes no sense. Were they expecting Auburn game to go 10 minutes long and just go, oh, well, they'll stick around and watch the Ohio State hockey game? No, we wouldn't, because we beat Ohio State 13-0 in baseball yesterday and beat their basketball team by 50 a few weeks ago. Which, if you're that idiot that was on Twitter that was arguing with me that Auburn football has never been within 14 points of Ohio State in the last 10 years, you're an idiot. Please tell me where you live. So anyway, that the cutting the feed, that's not a conspiracy. That is 1,000%. Somebody cut it, or once it got cut, they said, let's just keep it off because we want to flip to this hockey game. And that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. You got the best team in the nation, the number one team in the nation, playing a blue blood, and you don't want people to see it because you think people want to watch hockey. Or maybe you just got tired of Kentucky getting killed. Ridiculous. So, Auburn won a share of the SEC regular season championship despite people not seeing it. That didn't really mean anything to me. I don't want sharing anything because I still have PTSD of when Auburn won it in 2019 or whatever it was, beat Tennessee. Early, it was like the first SEC game. Beat Tennessee, had the 1-0 record to Tennessee. Tennessee ends up, you know, tying Auburn record-wise in the SEC. And the SEC network pushed Tennessee winning the SEC just as much, if not more, as Auburn winning the SEC. Saying it was a shared whatever or co-champions. No. Who was the number one seed in the SEC tournament? Auburn. Why? Because they had the tiebreaker of, hey, we beat you. And then we ended up having the same record. So we were the champion. So when Auburn won the share of the regular season championship by beating Kentucky today, that I didn't like. I didn't want us having shirts ready. I didn't want us to do any of that. I mean, I'll partake in our fun, but I wasn't going to buy a shirt or anything like that going, you know, share of yet. So I tweeted, we don't share. Let's finish it. Now, honestly, as it turned out, we didn't have to do anything else because Tennessee had a pretty cool good comeback in the last few minutes against Alabama, which all we needed was Alabama to lose one more game. But Auburn already beat Alabama too, in case y'all didn't know that. But Tennessee, in a very weird ending, they made a tying free throw at some point after missing another free throw but getting the rebound or something like that. Tied it up. Then 5-second violation on Alabama. They couldn't get it in. Then Tennessee runs down the court, and Tennessee's coach is trying to call timeout. Instead, their dude throws up a buzzer beater from probably 8 feet behind the three-point line and makes it, and Tennessee beats Alabama. We were listening to it on the radio on the way to Toomer's, which was hours after the game, but Auburn tweeted that the basketball team was going to Toomer's and would be there. They said, you know, leaving the airport now. I left my house then. It was like 20 minutes. We get there. There's some toilet paper, but I figured it was from the actual right after the game. We get out there, wait 20 minutes. Nobody really comes. We go start to eat. Baby Bloggle pulls up on his phone to picture Janiyah at Toomer's. I'm like, oh, they're down there. We run down there. Well, the picture was from like 5 minutes before we got there originally. But anyway, Auburn, due to Tennessee's win, Auburn is now the regular season SEC champions. They will not share it with anybody, as it should be. There's no way they should share anything with anybody this season. The toughest resume in America, in the SEC, toughest SEC ever. They've lost one game. They may lose these next two. Still won't matter. Still be better than everybody else and the best SEC ever. There's nobody better than Auburn this year in any way. Auburn could lose the first game in the SEC tournament. Auburn could lose the first game in the NCAA tournament. There's nobody better. The regular season champion is the best is the champion. For some reason in basketball, we love to just throw a tournament at the end and act like that should matter. And I'm not going to get into a whole diatribe of why the football playoffs are stupid too. But we already know who the best team is because they've gone through the entire SEC. They've played every game. By the end of this, they will have played Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia twice. They will play every team. Yes, the only inconsistency is that somebody, I don't know who, probably Florida, has to play Kentucky twice. We have to play Alabama twice. Alabama plays Tennessee twice. So the only inconsistency is everybody has to play three teams twice. And obviously that can't be the same ones. That's not enough to matter. Especially when you have a three-game lead on everybody or more. So, again, Auburn is the best team in the SEC, in the toughest SEC ever, which makes them the best team in the nation. There's not a question. I saw it might have been Clay Travis, somebody like that, tweeted, the NCAA tournament is a crapshoot. It is. You get a dumb referee. You get a dumb weird play. You get a dumb whatever. A dumb time slot or have to fly 7,000 miles while the other team has to fly four. You get some dumb situation. Anybody can beat anybody. And that one game should not override 30 plus regular season games. It should not at all. But we create these tournaments, the SEC tournaments, even dumber. We create these tournaments that just go, hey, you know what? Those 18 conference games you just played, we're just going to use those to seed you. You know, they don't really, you know, Auburn, you might have won eight more games than that other team, but let's throw you against them and give that other team one more shot. Yeah, let's do that. Or we get into the NCAA tournament where we now want to have 70, 80, 94,000 teams in it and give the team that went 16 and 15, we're going to give them a shot. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. It negates everything about the regular season. Seeding is not enough. Yeah, if you're the best team, you get to play the quote-unquote worst team in the tournament. Okay? Usually that's not going to be a thing. It has been once with Virginia, who did double dribble the next year. Y'all realize that? When Virginia lost to Fairleigh Dickinson or whoever it was. That's who beat Purdue. But they beat, who was it? It was Maryland something. They lost in the first round, the first team ever, the first number one seed to ever lose in the first round. Then the next year is when they won the national championship. And they got there by a double dribble. But either way, it doesn't make sense. you know, Auburn probably going to play Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Auburn just proved at Kentucky they are much better than Kentucky. But on a random Friday night in Nashville, we're going to give Kentucky another shot. Why? And then probably play Alabama in the semifinals or the finals. It would be the finals, I guess. Why? Auburn already beat them. Probably going to beat them in Auburn in a week. Why? What does that mean? What is throwing everybody in a pot and letting somebody come out on top? Why does that get to override what just happened over the last 3 months? Because you think it's fun. It gives you something to watch for a week. It's true. It is fun. It gives you something to watch for a week. I enjoy it a lot. But that doesn't mean it should override everything. We let the conference champion get in the tournament over the regular season champion. What does that make? You've got a team that goes 17-1 in the regular season conference, and they might lose in the championship to the team that they've already beaten twice during the season, and they get a chance to go to the real tournament. Again, the real tournament's stupid too, but why should they get that chance? They did something for a 2 to 3 day span that overrides 3 months. I know I just keep saying the same thing over and over, but it makes no sense. It just doesn't. And March Madness is awesome. I almost said awful. It's both. It's awesome and awful. I love the first week because it gives you a lot of stuff to watch. It gives you some games to watch at night. And yes, most of the time you want to see the upset just because. But what does that tell you? What does that give you? Nothing. It says, throw away 4 months of basketball and let's just get excited for Fairleigh Dickinson to beat Purdue. And then guess what? Fairleigh Dickinson's going to get beat by 40 against somebody in 2 days. Yippee. You can go eat wings and drink beer and still watch the better team win. You realize that, right? But bracket buster. I don't know. I'm going to get on this diatribe until somebody changes it. Or until Auburn wins the national championship, and I don't care anymore. So, Auburn is your SEC regular season champion, best team by far, unquestionably. There's no question. I said this weeks ago. It is determined by everything that they're the best team. There's no reason to play anymore. There's no reason to think that a tournament should override that. A lot of times it's not clear. It's clear this year. No reason. All right. Well, I think that was it. I missed my Friday deadline, but nobody cares. You probably didn't listen until Saturdays anyway. And now we have a trip to Texas A&M on Tuesday. They lost three in a row or two in a row. They lost a few in a row, and then they're playing Florida tonight, so they may lose another one. But going to Texas A&M doesn't really scare me. It's just the overall idea of a away game. That's all it is. So, and then we'll have another podcast before Auburn plays Alabama in a week. And they're not going to the Iron Bowl for game day. They're going for Duke, North Carolina again. North Carolina, who is currently not slated to get in the tournament. So, good job there. Not that I want us to go to get game day. I have my next podcast is going to be about something that's going to be a tad controversial about how our students and how our school and everything needs to handle the Alabama game. We've already won. I get it. Let's not camp out. It doesn't really usually work out, but we'll talk about that later. All right. That is it. This has been Warbloggle Podcast, episode number 25. Done.